to pull away from the studies we've been doing and go into some seasonal lessons. This is a season to celebrate, and it sort of starts with the Thanksgiving season, goes all the way through to New Year's. And so we want to look at a number of lessons, about six of them, as we talk about or think about celebrating the seasons. And it is an exciting time. It's a very busy time. We have a lot to do and a lot of things going on, like Brother Tim said, cooking and preparing for it's already taken place 3 months ago. But at any rate, it is an exciting time and a good time. And we want to look today at a season for Thanksgiving, a season to give thanks. Turn to Psalm 100, if you will. Psalm 100. We'll look at these verses together as we think of Thanksgiving, the season of Thanksgiving. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? How would you respond to that if somebody asked you that? Some would say, well, it's an extended vacation. We get a few extra days off from work, and that's good. I remember I always loved the seasons when I was back in seminary, and we wouldn't have to put up with Dr. Barber's test at all, and we could be free for a little while and get out of prison for a few days, you know, and then come back. But those always exciting days, and it'd kick off with Thanksgiving, and I'd always try to get back to Louisiana to see my mother and dad and folks back there, our relatives back there. To some, it's, well, it means a few good days of shopping, I guess. Black Friday, and I don't know what the other one is. The one that, what is it, Madeline? Cyber Monday. That's what I was trying to, Cyber Monday, Black Friday. They come up with all this stuff to make you buy, to try to make you buy. But we also use it as a time to celebrate with friends and family. It's a good time. We think about the season. We celebrate. We enjoy. Sometimes it's time we can stop and just reflect on some things. That's one good thing about Thanksgiving, if we let it be, is that we stop and we reflect on all of the blessings that we have, that God has given us. And Thanksgiving, we have a lot of history of Thanksgiving. It goes back in our history, in our country, to the Puritans. We always think about them and those special days. And they had, the Puritans didn't just have that one Thanksgiving day. They had a lot of days that they celebrated and thanked God and made it a special thing in their lives to do that. The first Thanksgivings really go back further than that. It goes back to the Old Testament. And it goes back to the Jewish people, the Israelites. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 7, I'll just read these for you. In verse 11 through 15, we see the different offerings that were given and see how it ended up. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. These were times and offerings that all led to one thing, and that was thanksgiving. No matter what the offering was, whether it was a peace offering or a different offering that was offered there, it really was a thanksgiving offering. And so that started back then, God's people teaching them you ought to be thankful and for the blessings of God. And we know that thanksgiving is really not so much an option as it is a command that we show thanksgiving to God that we do that. Psalm 92:1, for instance, we'll get back to Psalm 100. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. 1 Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord for that. In Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we are taught over and over and over the other verses, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks to the Lord for God's goodness. We live today in a pluralistic society, more so than we used to here in America. And nowadays, it seems that a lot of people are afraid to mention the name of God. That's sad. It shouldn't be that way. People are trying to be politically correct, and they don't want to mention his name. And yet, everything we have comes from God, doesn't it? I mean, everything that we have, every blessing, is all from God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow. Turning, it all comes from God. And we're reminded of that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we shouldn't hesitate to give praise and to give thanks publicly, verbally, out loud, in many other ways to God, and let people know that we're thankful and we believe it. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Always there's that element involved in it of thanksgiving. And so God has been good to us and very, very good to us. And so His goodness is continual, and our thanksgiving ought to continue as we think of so many things that we can thank God for. Now, why is giving thanks so important? Why is it important? God wants us to give thanks, and he's told us to give thanks. Why is it important? Well, let's go to Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, and see, first of all, giving thanks reflects our heart for God. Giving thanks reflects our heart for God. And the presence of thanksgiving shows what's going on in your heart. It always gets back to a heart issue. What's going on in your heart today, in my heart today? And so thanksgiving reflects our heart. And a lack of thanksgiving also reflects what's going on in somebody's heart. That they are not being thankful, and they really are not thinking about God. We'll get to verse 1 in just a moment, but Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Where does it come from? The heart. If it's evil, it comes out. If it's good, it comes out. If it's thanksgiving, it comes out. If it's unthankful, it will come out. So what's in your heart is going to find a way to work itself out in the public and to say and do some things for God. So it's a heart of joy. Verse 1, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we're to have a heart of joy. It reflects a heart for God, a heart of joy. And the psalmist says that we're to be glad. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. That's the Hebrew word shimcha. And it literally means joy, gaiety, being gay about it, and pleasure, all of that. So make a joyful noise for the Lord and serve him with gladness. There ought to be that in our heart. Gladness goes hand in hand with an attitude of thanksgiving. If I have thanksgiving, I'll be glad. I'll have this heart of gladness as I serve the Lord. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So over and over, he tells us that. And no matter what is going on in our lives, we should still be doing that. There are a lot of things that happen to us in our lives we don't like, and we don't plan on. We really would rather they did not happen, and they still come our way. That's the nature of the beast of being in a sin-cursed world. But even when we are going through terrible times and tough times, no matter what's going on, we ought to give praise to the Lord. There's an old Sunday school song we used to sing. I'd sing it many times when I was a youth director with our youth. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And that's what should be in our hearts today. No matter what we're facing, there ought to be that joy. And as a result of that, that is thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands, all your nations, all your people. And that ought to give us a heart that is willing to serve God. A thankful heart, a person who is saved and really thankful, as they know what God has done for them, will want to serve God. They will find a way or ways to serve the Lord. And that's what he says in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise. Speak up about it and serve the Lord with gladness. Tim Tebow, who was a great college player, and he's still trying to be a professional player. I think some of the coaches and some of the media are a little bit biased against him. And he's been criticized, he's been mocked, laughed at by others on the team. He played for Denver for a while and then tried out for another team. But he likes to tell people about Jesus. He's a committed Christian. And so he was asked why he needed to do that. And ESPN reporter asked him, and here's the way he responded. I'm going to quote him. If you're married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love you, the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and have the opportunity? Some of you guys missed that this morning. You still got a little more time today to get to that. And that's how I feel about my relationship with Jesus Christ, he said. It is the most important thing in my life, so every opportunity I have to tell him I love him, or I'm given an opportunity to shout him out on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. Well, I personally respect him for that. And I still hope he becomes a good quarterback someday. But the Apostle Paul said it like this, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that if he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him, that service, which died for them and rose again. So when we're thankful, I think that thanksgiving, a thankful heart, just spills out all over us in our attitude and our gladness and our singing praise to him and in our serving the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said this, they are sure to praise God best who serve him best. They're sure to praise God best who serve him best. And serving is a privilege. And then there's also a heart of praise, a heart of praise. And that's what that whole thing is talking about in verses 1 and 2. And he's talking about a heart that praises God because of thanksgiving, because we want to say thank you. Sometimes Anna and Will, Gillett, will come up to me out in the lobby. And they want bubble gum. And so I'll take it out and give it to them. And all of a sudden they turn around and start to run away. And Tori or Brother Tyler will say, whoa, wait a minute. Is there anything you want to say to preacher? And they'll say, oh, yes, thank you. And she'll say, thank you. And he'll say, thank you, shoom. He's gone, you know, like a streak of lightning. But children, a lot of times, it is not natural for them to say thank you. That's true of all of us, probably. But we have to remind them, hey, wait a minute now. Don't forget your manners. Say thank you. And adults need to be reminded of that sometimes too, don't we? because we take things for granted. We neglect to say thank you many times. Teenagers certainly do sometimes. But when they don't say thank you, how do we feel about it? We think they're rude. Well, how could they be rude? That's rude. You ought to say thank you. And we try to correct them or try to remind them that they ought to say thank you. And if we don't feel like serving God or praising God, it's like we're not willing to say thank you to Him for all He's done for us, what He's done for us. And if we don't feel like that, then we need to repent and get that right. Our thankful attitude should make us want to praise God and should make us want to serve God. That's what He's saying. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. A joyful heart is what I think He's talking about. And if we don't have that, we need to repent and get it right. 24-year-old young man, Baptist scholar, Robert Robinson, penned the words to this hymn. And I think it demonstrates the connection between thankfulness and praise. Thankfulness and praise go together. And you're familiar with the song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love." And we realize that God is the fount of every blessing, and He is the fount of every blessing. And so when we give thanks, however we do it, a combination of the ways we do it, we're reflecting our heart for God in our joy, in our serving Him, and in our praise to Him. So giving thanks reflects our heart. Secondly, giving thanks respects the ways of God. It shows that we respect the ways of God. Verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, that it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And I think he's reminding us of who God is here. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." He's the one who is God in charge of it. So we think, first of all, about the fact that He is sovereign. God is sovereign. That's just a fancy word that means He's in charge of everything. He's ruling over everything. Nothing is getting by God. We give thanks because we know that God is the supreme ruler of this world. And even when we see things that we don't like in government and world affairs, we still can give thanks to God because we know God is on the throne and He's not going to allow anything that He does not want to happen. Anytime He wants it to change, He can stop it. 1 Chronicles 29:11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come to Thee. Thou reignest over all, and in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name." God, the psalmist was just, or the writer of Chronicles, was just simply saying, we know You're in charge and we praise You for all things. Now, the polytheist, theism, God, and poly-many, polytheism, they're those who believe in many gods. And they try to give credit to many gods one way or the other. But when we have what we would call intelligent worship, we know there's one God. Not many roads that lead to many gods, but there is one God. Psalm 100 and verse 3 there, he says very clearly, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Only one God. The Lord is God, and there's only one way to know Him. We know that, and that's through Jesus. And Jeremiah said it this way in 9:23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this." What's that, God? "That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God is the one, and we recognize that. And so we don't celebrate ourselves. Who do we celebrate? God. We celebrate God. God's on the throne. God does this. God is in charge. And so based on who He is, we know that He is God in charge of everything. That means that He's in charge of every day that we live. And that means that every day that we live, we ought to have a thankful heart. And we ought to be able to thank God for all the blessings of every day. And no matter what is coming our way, no matter what we're going through, we have a sovereign God that has permitted these things. He allows these things. And if we're spiritually mature, we're going to thank Him. He also reminds us there in the middle part of that verse that God is our Creator. The Lord is God. He hath made us. It is He that hath made us. And we didn't come from monkeys and tiny amoeba, but God made us. And when He made Adam, Adam had the intelligence to name all the animals, so on and so forth. And so we know that He is the Creator. We're not self-made. You ever meet some people that are self-made? They just pat themselves on the back. I did this. I made that. I did it my way. All of that famous song. Self-made people. We're not self-made. We ought to praise God if we have anything and recognize it. Thomas Kean wrote these words in a hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." How many of you believe that today? All blessings flow from God. "Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Praise Him. Praise the Holy Trinity. And so we need to praise Him. We need to remember where we came from. God made us. God made us. Ecclesiastes 12:1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Anybody relate to that? But at any rate, he's saying, even when you're young, remember the Creator. Get it into your children and grandchildren's heart and mind who the Creator really is. And then He's our Redeemer. He mentions that. I think that's the last part of that verse. "We are His people." Why? Because He redeemed us. "And the sheep of His pasture," because He redeemed us. We're His. Not everybody is a child of God. Now, I know you have a lot of people out there that say, "We're all God's children." No, we're not all God's children. We all are created, in that sense, from God, but not everybody is a child of God. We're not all God's children. Only those who are born again. John 8:44. Tells who those unsaved people are. John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you do." Unsaved people's father is the devil. God created man, but we're not all children of God. And so that's why there has to come that time when a sinner recognizes their sinner. They turn to God. They know they need redemption. They know He made them, and that He's the Creator, and there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the gift of God. Colossians 1 and verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." It's God that has given us salvation and grace through salvation. I thank God that when I was a little 9-year-old boy in a little country church in northeast Louisiana, little white frame church during the revival meeting. Our pastor's name was Brother Gaddis, and the visiting pastor was there, and he pastored another church in the area, but he was preaching that night, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I thank God I got saved that night. I thank God for little country churches, because if that hadn't been there, I might not have gotten saved. But I'm glad that I understood God is God, I answer to Him, and I'm a sinner, and I have to be born again. And that night, I went down the aisle, received Jesus Christ as my Savior. When did you get saved? How did you get saved? Where were you? You remember? We ought all to remember. There should be a time you say, "Well, I don't know, I've just always been saved." No, you hadn't always been saved. I've had people say that, "Well, I've always believed in God." So, but you've got to have a time and place where you've been truly born again. You've got to be able to know it. You may not remember the exact day and hour, I don't remember the month and hour, the records, I haven't gone back to them, but I do know where it happened. I knew it happened. I knew where it was and how it happened. And then thirdly, very quickly, giving thanks responds to the love of God. Look at verses 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Giving thanks responds to the love of God. And He says, come in the gates with thanksgiving. Now, this was written to the Jews, and they were talking about coming into Jerusalem in the temple. But today, it's the house of God. Today, it's the local New Testament church. Come into the church with thanksgiving. Don't come into the church thinking about all your worries and what you're going to do this afternoon and all that you're preoccupied with. Come into the church house, the church is the people, but come into the church, assemble together, and give God glory and respond to the glory of God in the local church. Be preoccupied with God when you come to church. The devil will try to make your mind drift off to 101 things. But somehow, bring it back online and be preoccupied with God. With how are we going to do that? With worship. A lot of people think, well, we have to have music to worship. And worship is, music is part of worship, but you can worship God without music. You can worship God without the warm-up. Some people think that has to be the warm-up. No, you can come into the building and should come into the building with a heart of worship and an attitude of worship. That ought to be the state of the heart all the time, and it should never end, really. It should be every day. But that's the way we should come into the house of God. We don't need so-called just a worship leader and just worship music to put us in a frame of mind through some hip-hop music to make us ready to worship and to titillate our sensibilities. No, we come in with a heart, understanding who God is, and we come to God's house. We want to worship, and that worship should never end. And as I said, not even in difficult times. I read about some material about a lady who was very poor. She was in India, and she brought a very large offering to church, and there was an itinerant-type preacher there. He did not know her real well, but he knew she was poor. He knew that she didn't really have a lot, as so many people in India do not have, but she brought a large offering of rice, which to them was very extravagant in order to do that. And he asked her why she did it. She said, it's an offering of gratitude. And he said, well, why? What do you mean? And the woman said, well, my son was sick. And I prayed and I asked God. I promised God a large gift if He would heal my son. And the preacher said, well, did He heal him? She said, no, he died. But I know he was saved and I know he's in heaven. And, of course, in that sense, he was healed. And she said, I just want to thank God, and I'm especially thankful that even though he died, he went to heaven. So she found something to be thankful about. Some of the greatest opportunities for worship are when we're going through trials. Some of the greatest opportunities to give God praise that others will see in our life is when we're going through the deep, deep waters. And that's what Job did. Job finally came to the right conclusion. In Job 1, verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, in other words, it doesn't matter. And all that Job went through, he complained a little bit, and his friends didn't help him. But at the end, he said, I've got it. To God be the glory. Whatever God wants to do with me, that'll be the right thing. And then we need to respond with gratitude, and I think he shows us that in verse 5, the latter part of that. Respond with gratitude for God's everlasting mercy and for the truth that God has given us. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life. I like this. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. It's a fancy way of saying whatever happens, we just ought to praise God in the good times and in the bad times. We're joint heirs with Christ, and we ought to praise Him. Not just Thanksgiving Day, but praise Him all the time. It reflects that we have a heart for God. It reflects that we acknowledge His goodness and His sovereignty. And it shows that we respond from our heart to the love of God and to all that God has done for us, no matter what. And sometimes we need to push the reset button. We have AT&T. Sometimes I was moving some furniture and had some other furniture coming in. I had to unplug all of that, and then the TVs wouldn't work. But you got to push the reset button. There's a little bitty red button on the back of the main modem, and if you don't re-push that, you aren't going to get the signal back. And sometimes Thanksgiving is just the reset button for us. And we punch it and get our minds back into the attitude of no matter what, being thankful. We don't need to be coaxed to do it. It just ought to be natural, coming from our hearts and our lips. We're God's children. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Father, we do have so much to be thankful for. If for no reason other than the fact that we know our lambs are in our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have reason to be joyful today. And we give you praise and honor and glory, O God, for who you are. We offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.